The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment.
Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie says so many times we approach prayer as if we're placing a takeout order.
All right, Lord, let's just get to it. How you doing? Love you. Amen. Okay, here's what I need. Right? But Jesus taught us this. After this manner, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Of us have owned a wonder car. A wonder car. You turn the key and you wonder, will it start or won't it? And your whole day changes based on the outcome. Well, some of us have the same feeling about prayer. Will it be answered or won't it? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie gives us some easy-to-follow principles, some secrets that'll help us all pray more effectively. It's part of his practical series, What Every Growing Christian Needs to Know.
So are there secrets to answered prayer? Well, yes and no. I mean, if you think this book is a secret, maybe there are. If you've never opened the user's manual of life, then I guess it's a secret. But the fact is, God has proclaimed very clearly in Scripture how to have our prayers answered in the affirmative. He gives us principles to follow. And probably the greatest example of that is a template he gave that we call the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer to pray. It is a template for prayer. It is a model for prayer. Again, remember, Jesus gave this prayer in response to the request of his disciples who said, you know what John taught his disciples to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. So he gave them this prayer. And it's Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1-4. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So here we have principle number one. If you want your prayers answered in the affirmative, you must pray according to the will of God. If you want your prayers answered in the affirmative, in other words, if you want God to say yes to you when you pray, pray according to the will of God. Jesus modeled this for us when he taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Having said that, there also is a place in prayer for your personal needs because Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Now here's our problem. Here's how our prayers usually go. If we rewrote the Lord's Prayer, it would sound like this. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Kind of like a, let's cut to the chase. Shall we? You know, like when I go into a restaurant, I like to order. In fact, when I go into a restaurant, I know what I want before the server even comes. Sometimes they'll come, oh, what would you like to drink? Well, I would like to drink a glass of water, but I would also like to order this. And my wife says, I'm not ready yet. I'll say, okay, sorry. And then my wife reads at the menu, and I'll just say to her, you're going to order this. I'll just say what she's going to order. She doesn't even hear me because she's contemplating the menu. Then after the server comes back, and sometimes, you know, they go for water and leave us for days. Right? They're gone for days. Then they return. Oh, here's your water. Mommy says, quick question about the menu. Can I substitute this for that and that for this and change that? And the server will say, let me go back and check in the kitchen. No, don't go, don't go. And then they go and they're gone for two more days. And they come back. Yes, we can change this to that. And then my wife orders the thing I said she was going to order at the beginning. I'm just like, let's get to it. Let's order. Let's eat. And then I want to go to sleep. That's pretty much it. My wife enjoys the meal. I eat it like a dog with food in a dish. This is a sad thing. But we can be this way with God. All right, Lord, let's just get to it. How you doing? Love you. Amen. Okay, here's what I need. Right? But Jesus taught us this. After this manner, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread. But see, if I've contemplated the awesomeness of God and considered his will and purpose, and if I've already surrendered my will to him, asking for his purpose above my own, that could just have a little bit of an effect on what I now pray for personally, couldn't it? Now, I'm going to sort of see things a little differently because as I'm looking at God now, I'm kind of getting things in perspective. Maybe even as I started out in prayer, my need was so big and God was so small. But as I saw how big God is, I saw how my need was so small comparatively. Big God, small problem. Big problem, small God. We just need to see who God is and his greatness. But then pray, give me this day my daily bread. So amazing that God wants to do this for us. Here's another secret to answered prayer. You may not like this one. You must forgive others. You must forgive others. In the model prayer, Jesus teaches us, verse 4, forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, this word indebted means those that have sinned against us. Now, your forgiveness is not hinging on your forgiving, but your forgiving should hinge on his gracious and generous forgiveness to you. In other words, Jesus is not saying you better be forgiving of someone or you won't be forgiven. What he's really saying is you've been forgiven, so forgive others. Because if it was me forgiving to receive forgiveness, I'm almost establishing a works relationship with God, like I have to do something to get something. The forgiveness that comes to me from Christ is based on his merit and on his death and his love for me. But if I know anything about what he's done for me, if I've been forgiven, I should forgive others. Listen to this. Forgiven people should be forgiving people. Forgiven people should be forgiving people. If you're a person who holds grudges, if you're a person who keeps score, if you're a person that can't let it go, you're going to be a person that suffers in life. And let me tell you something else about yourself. You're going to be a person that's going to see your prayer life come to a screeching halt. So we have to learn how important it is to forgive when we pray, because forgiveness is the key to all relationships that are healthy and strong and lasting. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, when you're standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God and you remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice, go and be reconciled to that person, then bring your gift to God. So right now, let me ask you this. Are you harboring a grudge towards someone? You say, well, okay, I am, but they deserve to have something harbored toward them because they did this to me. They said that about me. Okay, let's just say for the sake of a point, they did. Honestly, a lot of the times we misunderstand, you know? Sometimes we think people said stuff about us that they actually didn't say. Sometimes we misunderstood something that someone did. But let's just say for the sake of a point, they said that thing, they did that thing, and now your payback is I'm not going to forgive them. And if they walk in this church, I'm going to just give them the evil eye while I'm worshiping. You know, wait, stop. You got it all wrong. You know who's getting hurt? Them. The evil eye's hurting them. Newsflash. They may not even know about your stupid evil eye. Here's who's getting hurt. You. Not forgiving someone is like eating rat poison and hoping it kills the rat. It's going to kill you. Harboring resentment and not forgiving is going to hurt you more than the person you're harboring the resentment toward. If you want to be healthy and vibrant spiritually, you have to forgive. You know? You do. Well, Greg, they don't deserve it. Okay? Do you? Do I? No, we don't. But what does the Bible say? Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. Greg Laurie here, personally inviting you to join us for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a Bible study. It's a worship service. It's church in your home. Maybe you're not able to get out to your church right now. If so, join us for Harvest at Home. People are listening in from around the world. And listen to this. We have seen thousands of people make a commitment to follow Christ. So join us this weekend for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg continues now with his study on the secrets of effective prayer and his message, The Importance of Prayer in the Life of the Believer.
Number four, if you want to have your prayers answered as much as possible, stay out of the place of temptation. Verse four, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, he's saying, Lord, don't let me be tempted above my capacity to resist. Now, if you want to live in a temptation-free world, you'd have to actually leave this world. And the problem is, even if you hitched a ride on a spacecraft on your way to Mars, you'd still get tempted. You can't escape it. So here's what Jesus is teaching us. Don't put yourself unnecessarily in the way of temptation. Look, life is hard enough. Don't go out there and make it harder. You know where you're vulnerable. You know where you're weak. You know where you could fall. So keep your guard up. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. One final principle about having your prayers answered. Don't give up. Don't give up. Look at verse 5 now. And Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come in this journey and I have nothing to set before him. Then he'll answer from within and say, don't trouble me, for the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give it to you. I say, though he will not rise to give because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. Here's the big one now, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Ask, seek, knock. Don't give up. In fact, the words ask, seek, and knock indicate an ascending intensity. Now, let me explain this scene here. He's talking about some guy that wants food late at night. Basically, in biblical times, you know, they would have a home they would live in. And if you weren't really wealthy, you might only have one big room that everyone sleeps in. You're there. Your wife is there. Your mom and dad are there. Your kids are there. Uncle Harry's there. And, you know, everybody's there. It's a big thing. And a lot of people sleeping. So you're all in this little room and some crazy guy comes knocking at your door at like 2 in the morning. I need some bread. A friend came into town. You're like, go away. We're all asleep. But he keeps knocking on the door. So finally, just to get the guy to go away, you give him some bread. That's the picture Jesus uses. So he's saying, hey, if you would do that for some guy because of his persistence, how much more will your Father answer your prayer? Because here's the good news. God wants to answer your prayer. But sometimes he won't do it as quickly as you would like because he wants to draw you out and he wants to teach you faith. Thus, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. The word ask implies requesting assistance. Seek denotes asking but adds the word action to it. meaning it involves effort. And knock means asking plus acting plus persevering. So you pray for something one time, doesn't happen. Fast forward a month. Now you're praying more often. You're getting some friends to pray with you. You don't get the answer. Fast forward 6 months. Now you're calling out to God because maybe it's a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe it's a desperate situation. Maybe it's a medical situation. Whatever it is, you're calling out to God. I believe if we want to see a spiritual awakening in America, we need to cry out to God. Cry out to God. I don't think it can be a casual, Lord, save the country, amen. What's for lunch? But it's got to be one of those storm the gates of heaven. We are not giving up. We're going to keep praying for a spiritual awakening in our nation. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Jesus is calling us to passionate, persistent prayer. Maybe our prayer has no power in it because there's no heart in it. So let's pray like never before. Now, let me ask you in closing, do you know how to pray? You know, I think sometimes we say prayers. We even teach this to our children. Say your prayers at night, right? Teach them a little prayer. Sometimes there's prayers for food. You know, for this meal that we're about to receive, we truly give thanks, or something like that. Or you might teach your child to pray. Okay, now let's pray before you go to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many of you do that prayer with your kids? You do that? Don't do that prayer anymore. That's kind of a weird prayer. I'm sorry. It just is. Is that a good thing to say to a child? Okay, honey, I'm going to put you to bed now. Pray this prayer. Think about the prayer now. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay, so maybe I could lose my soul. Don't keep it, Lord. Keep the soul so I don't lose it while I sleep. If I should die before I wake, Lord, if I die in my sleep tonight, I just pray the Lord my soul to take. Then we say, good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. So if God doesn't take your soul, if you don't die in bed, the bed bugs might get you. Good night. These are crazy things to say to kids. Stop. Don't teach them prayers. Teach them how to pray. There's a big difference. And even as adults, sometimes we have prayers, but we don't pray. Here's my prayer, my little prayer, my pre-written prayer. I memorize this prayer. No, pray. Prayer is communicating with God. You know, it's possible to offer prayers and not be heard in heaven. It's possible to pray the most beautiful, eloquent prayer ever prayed and have it not go any higher than the ceiling. God even says, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Why is that? Because sometimes we're filled with sin. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a sin we've never confessed. Maybe it's something else. But it's just like there's a barrier between us and God. It's like we were in a phone call with God and our battery went dead. Or even worse, we hung up. We hung up. And if you want to reconnect with God again, you need to call back, but you need to confess your sin and say, Lord, I've sinned, and admit that sin you've committed, and God will forgive you, and communication will be restored. Do you need to do that? There might be some of you that have always tried to pray, but you've never known the God you're even praying to. That's the most important thing of all. And God wants a relationship with you. And prayer is an ongoing conversation that you can have with him all day and all afternoon and all night long. And listen to this, all lifelong. In your young years, in your middle years, in your older years, this conversation with the Lord. And one day you'll close your eyes and wake up and you'll be there with him in person and carry on. You walk with him on earth, and one day you'll walk with him in heaven. I love the story of Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. That just means that every day Enoch would get up and he'd take a walk with God. And he did this for many years, and then one day God says, you know what, Enoch, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me? And that's life. You just walk with God day in and day out, year in and year out, decade in and decade out. And then one day the Lord says, come on, we're closer to my house. Come home. then you're with him. That's prayer. But you can't pray if you don't know the God that you're praying to. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, because he died to forgive you of all those sins that you and I have committed that separate us from him. And if I'll turn from that sin and ask Jesus to be my Savior and Lord, he'll come into my life and forgive me, and this relationship will begin. Have you asked Christ to come into your life yet? Do you know your sin is forgiven? Or is there something right now that's troubling you? Something you've done you know is wrong. It's causing great guilt, great pain. Listen, let's not just deal with the symptom. Let's get to the problem. It's sin. You confess that sin, you'll come into this relationship with God. I'm going to give you an opportunity as we close now in prayer to ask for his forgiveness and start this relationship with him. Maybe some of you have known the Lord at one time, but you've allowed some sin to work its way into your life and it's brought your prayer life to a halt. You can confess that sin and God will forgive you. God says if you will confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's all bow our heads. Father, I thank you for everybody here, everybody listening, everybody watching. I pray for anyone now who may not yet know you. I pray that you'll help them to see their need for Jesus and help them to come to you and receive your forgiveness. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer. And if you know you need to make a change today in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will come back to help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Now, if you missed any part of what Pastor Greg taught us today, we can help you get caught up. Just listen again at our website, harvest.org. Or to get a copy of the message on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. Call anytime, 1-800-821-3300.
Hey everybody, Pastor Greg here in studio with my friend Daryl Strawberry, who has just written a brand new book called Turn Your Season Around. You know, one of the chapters in your book, Daryl, discussed the importance of renewing your mind. And with all the stress and anxiety and pressures of what we're all facing right now have thrown our nation into a mental health crisis. So what happens when we take the focus off of God's word, especially in times of crisis?
Well, I can tell you what happens to people. They get lost when they take their focus off of God's word. The word is really what bring hope and joy and peace in the midst of the storm. Mm-hmm. And if you understand that, I think the problem with most Christians is they don't understand scriptures. And when you start diving into the scriptures and understanding the scriptures and let the scriptures become a part of your everyday living, then you have something to stand on. I mean, the foundation of who we are is the scriptures that come out of the Bible. And, you know, and that's why I said, you know, most people, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no understanding of the word of God. And so many of us, we get scattered minded, you know, in the midst of the storm, you know, like we're sitting in right now with everything going on in the nation. My focus through this whole time, the pandemic, has been not on the television, not what's going on the cell phone. It's been, am I still connected to God? Do I stay connected to my everyday devotion to God? Because that's really what keeps me, and that's what really keeps me strong in the midst of all this, you know. And that's what's going to transform your mind. Romans 12:2, it talks about it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is what you have to rely yourself on, is the word of God, you know. And I'm just one of those guys, Pastor Greg, that just loves the scriptures, love meditating on them, love living off the scriptures, because it gives me the hope that the Bible has taught me. And if I think if people can understand, you need to reflect back to what you've learned from the word of God and not what you're hearing on television and what's being said on social media.
That's very true. You know, it says in the book of Philippians, whatsoever things are true and lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue in these things, anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And
You know, we need to consciously think about what the Bible says, because our emotions can get the best of us. Circumstances can overwhelm us. So we correct that with biblical thinking. Thinking what Scripture teaches us to think. Reminding ourselves of things such as God is on the throne. God is in control of my life. God can cause all things to work together for good to those that love him. And as I remember these things, it sort of stabilizes me and can raise me above what I'm facing. And so Daryl has written about this and a lot more in his new book called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. It was my privilege to write the foreword for this new book by Daryl. I know it's going to impact you. I know you're going to love it. And I think this would be a really good book to give to a guy, you know, because Daryl's obviously a guy's guy. He's a sports hero. He's the real deal. But he is very bold in his faith. And it's all in the pages of this new book. So you might want to get a copy for your husband or for your dad or for your son. And let them read the story of Daryl Strawberry and the lessons he has to share with us. Think of Daryl as a guy is going to coach you through the challenges you're facing, using a lot of sports analogies, but most important, filled with biblical truth. You need to read Turn Your Season Around, and we'll send you a copy for free. Well, not totally for free. We'll send it for your gift of any size. And I mean that when I say that, whatever you send, we'll give you a copy. Some can only send a little. Some can send more. But we'll get you this copy to start reading or to share with someone who needs to read it.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll send the book to you right away when you get in touch. Just mention the title, Turn Your Season Around. The subtitle is How God Transforms Your Life. And thank you for your donation. Whatever amount you're able to send will touch more lives with the gospel. Just write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then for those who'd like to make a change in their relationship with God right now, Pastor Greg, would you like to help them do that?
I would. You know, I receive so many letters, Dave, from people from every walk of life, from successful businessmen to those who are incarcerated, to mothers struggling as they're trying to raise their children, to young boys and girls writing and saying they've made a commitment or a recommitment to Jesus, and maybe you need to make that commitment to him right now. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Yes, you can meet God right now, and I would just ask you to pray this prayer out loud after me, and this is where you are asking Christ to come into your life. Pray with me now, if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your commandments and I've fallen short of your standards, but I thank you that you have loved me and you have called me to yourself. So I turn from my sin right now and I choose to believe in and follow you. Be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my God from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and loving me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let me just say, God bless you. You've made the right decision, and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we want to follow up with you by sending something called our New Believers Growth Packet to help you get started living as a Christian. We'll send it without charge if you prayed for the first time today to receive Christ. Just ask for the New Believers Growth Packet when you call 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime, 24/7. Again, that's 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg takes us further into his message series, What Every Growing Christian Needs to Know. He'll point out why we need the church and why the church needs us. That's next time.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.